You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Does the unbelief of people nullify the Word of God? It does not, and we'll learn that and much, much more in Romans chapter 3. Alex McFarland here, welcoming you to Exploring the Word, along with Bert Harper. And Bert, Romans is just one of those books that every page, every chapter, every verse really is powerful truth that our world needs to hear, isn't it?
It really is, and it's a joy to go through the book of Romans. And I want to tell you, from chapter 3 on, it's going to tell you about faith in Christ Jesus and what it means. So this will be a great study for anyone that's just been born again and to go through the book of Romans with us, and we'll try to help you understand what we have in Christ. It is more than you could even ask or think. And so we welcome all of you who are listening today, and we're in Romans chapter 3, and Alex, again, I just want to set it up. I'm kind of an outline guy when I do a sermon or anything. And notice this is outlined in a way with questions and answers. This is kind of like the last segment of Exploring the Word, where a question is asked and the answer is given, but it's asked by Paul and answered by Paul. So let me just give you an example, and that way everybody will be ready. Listen to chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage, then, has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? That is the question. And so listen, if you will, at verse 3. Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? There's the question. And again, you'll find out about 5 or 6 of these questions that will be asked in the chapter 3 of Romans, and then Paul answers them. And if you're looking for any kind of an outline, that kind of gives you an outline, and it helps you if you're that way, because it's hard for me sometimes. Yeah. I'm kind of a skeleton guy. I like to put the skeleton on and then put the muscles and everything attached to it, and it helps me to know it. So we pray this will be a good study for those who are listening today. Go ahead, Alex.
You know, Bert, when I was a young Christian, I was driving in a delivery truck, and along the way, it just seemed like I met a lot of people on my delivery route that I found myself sharing the gospel with. And I'll never forget, a man asked me, we were in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I was on a loading dock, and the man said, so you're leaving and you're going to go away to seminary? And I said, yeah. And he said, do you believe the Bible? And I said, I surely do. And he said, yeah, but what about the Muslims, and what about the Buddhists, and what about this or that? And he said, if I die and it turns out there's a God, I'm just going to tell him, well, I'm sorry, but I did not believe your Bible. That's what he said. And I was very young in the faith, but I said, well, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And I don't know how I knew that verse, but it's in Romans 3, verse 4.
That's it. Yeah.
God does not lie. God cannot lie, because God is truth. And because the Bible is God's word, by necessity, by definition, God's word is truth. And you know, there are some things in the Bible that are very simple and easy to understand, like God made the world and God loves us. There are other things that are pretty complex, like the book of Ezekiel or parts of Revelation. But you know what? The wisest thing to do is to believe God's word, because God speaks truth.
He really does. And again, that truth will ring true. It corresponds with the reality. It is true anywhere, anytime, and under all circumstances. And so listen to this, and you've already gone to verse 4, and that is powerful. I underlined that, highlighted that both in my Bible, Alex, because like you say, there it is. But the question that we've asked already, what advantage then was the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? And Paul answers, much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. Now, the oracles of God, we're finding out how God speaks, that God spoke to them, and they were to be messengers of those oracles. Alex, they weren't to be just the keepers. They were to be the sharers. And this is what we found out. The Jews, what they went, not only did they turn away from God and worship Baal in the past and the Old Testament and everything, but they thought their advantage was that we have it, not that they get to share it. We as a church, brother, Amen. We have it and we need to share it. Right, Alex?
Well, we do. You know, we often quote Vince Havner, and he said, we are to be a channel of truth, not just a reservoir. And Vance Havner, he's a great preacher, and folks, I would encourage you to familiarize yourself with Vance Havner's books, because they are tremendous. But he said, you know, a creek that the water moves along is pure and clear, but if it gets, dammed up or the water can't move, it gets stagnant. And he says that's how we are. We're not to be this reservoir, but we're to share truth and to know truth and to spread it. And the beautiful thing, I mean, as we ingest God's word, we grow, and as we share it, others hear about Jesus, and they grow as well. And like you say, the calling of the Jewish people was they were entrusted with the oracles of God, the scripture, the promise of the Messiah. And Bert, we as the born-again believers, if a person has put their faith in Christ, they're a Christian, we have an assignment. Our assignment, as it says, I've seen it in many a Christian college, to know him and make him known.
Hallelujah.
We're not just living our life as we call the shots. I mean, if we're a Christian, we are on mission for Jesus, aren't we?
We really are. And Alex, when you were talking about that, I could not help but think of the comparison of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. The Dead Sea is receives but never gives off. It collects the water around it, even the Jordan River flowing into it. And the Sea of Galilee, it collects, but it also shares. It sends it down the Jordan River. Guess what lives in the Dead Sea? Nothing. Guess what? The Sea of Galilee, that's where the fishermen were that Jesus would call. And so, Alex, this is it. A church, a ministry like AFR, we receive what God's given us, but our obligation, our responsibility, our privilege is to share that good news of others, but also help people grow. Once they receive that good news by faith, what do? They grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this is it. So for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that you may just be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. Alex, your answer to that man in Winston-Salem was right on. And listen, God, it's going to be proven, it has been proven again and again and again, that God is speaking true, that he is true, and it proves it again and again, that we men, without God, we go the wrong way, don't we?
Well, amen. And basically what chapter 3 is outlining, for one thing, the righteousness of God, the righteousness and legitimacy of God's judgments. And let me just say this, God is absolutely in a position to pass judgment on us because God is righteous, we're unrighteous. If we want to be saved and forgiven and go to heaven, we have to deal with the sin issue. And so let me read a little bit about this, and this is really deep. As you know, Romans is beautiful truth. This is kind of almost like a legal document, but he says this, that God is just in judging us. All right, verse 5, but if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Let me just say this, and Bert, I want your comments. All right, we are sinners. God is just and can judge us. And he says, look, it doesn't matter how we reason or how we think, well, maybe I'm not as bad as somebody. Okay, I'm not perfect, but there's a lot of guys worse. Well, compared to Jesus, we're all fallen sinners, aren't we?
We really are, Alex, and that's exactly what it is showing here. And it shows that God will judge the world. He is. How does he judge? He judges in truth. He's already said that. But it is not our, you know, glory in God by being unrighteous, by doubting God, by going our way. No, that's what he says. Certainly not. That's not how we do it. We don't say in verse, and I think he sums it up in verse 8 in a significant way, Alex. And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are sanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, because he was preaching that we're saved by grace through faith, they were accusing him of saying, oh, you're saying keep on living, doing evil, that good may come out of it? He said, certainly not. That's not what I'm saying. That is not what grace is. That's not what faith in Christ is. The righteousness of God is revealed in us as he saves us and delivers us from sin, Alex. Not that we stay in sin, but he delivers us. He has given us the power over sin if we will obey him. He's already given us the freedom from the penalty of sin and put in our citizenship in heaven. Listen, we've got what God has given us, and we can walk by faith and fulfill the law of Christ. Alex, we don't do it by sinning more and more. We do it by following Christ. Mm. That's what he expects.
Amen.
And that's what Paul is laying out here.
Well, in verse 9, he says, Jew and Gentile, that we've all sinned. And then verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. Isn't that something? Verse 11, nobody is really in their flesh seeking after God. Now, I think there are people that are seeking to tell themselves, I'm okay, and if it turns out there's a judgment day, I'll have some excuse. But really, if you're thinking about your soul, folks, you're thinking about, am I right with God? When I leave this world, am I prepared to face God? That's the Holy Spirit calling you. Because in and of ourselves, we're not, well, Romans 3:11 says, we're not really seeking God. So if you are truly desiring to be right with God, you need to act on that because that's the Holy Spirit drawing you.
Alex, notice what it starts with in verse 10. None righteous. As long as I keep this in my mind, my sin is dominated in my life, and I do not have the forgiveness of the Lord, the deliverance from self to the Savior, you know, guess what? I'll never understand. I'll never seek after God. But when I'm made right with God in his death, burial, and resurrection, then I find out, guess what? Man, my understanding has opened up a little bit. I know more about it. Man, I want more of God. So it all starts with this being made righteous in Jesus Christ, not in the law, not in circumcision that we went over yesterday, but in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk more about this relationship that you can have with Christ. So stay tuned for more here on Exploring the Word. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper. Amen. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is Bert and Alex. We're in Romans chapter 3. And you know I'm looking for words that you look at and say, oh, there it is again. There it is again. If you look in verses 10 and then through 12, notice this word. There is none. There is none. There is none. There is none. Four times you say that. And then in verse 12, they have all gone out of the way. They have altogether become unprofitable. That describes who we are without Christ. And that's the reason Alex and I will continually go and share with you. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we're teaching how to grow in the Lord. We're teaching about discipleship and service and missions. But we're also wanting everyone to know that it's not religion. It's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's none that are righteous. All have sinned and come short. But listen, there's hope in Christ. Alex, when you read verses 13 through 18, you'll find he's repeating the book of Psalms, Psalm 5, Psalm 10, Psalm 36. Paul, he knew his Old Testament, didn't he?
Well, he did. He did so much. He quotes the Old Testament repeatedly throughout the book of Romans.
And what we have here, notice what it goes. He goes through verse 13, the throat, the tongue, and the lips. That all has in common. They're destructive, what they're doing. But then after he moves from 14, mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Notice what he does. He moves to their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery on their ways, the way of peace they have not known. So, Alex, we're talking about men and what they know. Men and what they do and how they respond. We're totally inadequate in ourselves to be right with God without God's intervention, aren't we?
You know, Bert, when Paul says this, and this could be the verse of our times in verse 18, there is no fear of God in their eyes. And it was true in Paul's day. I think it's very true in our day. There's no fear of God. And then he goes on and he talks about the fact that they know the law and yet they're sinning against it. And they can't make a plea and say, well, I partially kept the law. He goes on and he says, by no works of the law will any flesh be justified. That's in verse 20.
Okay. And we're having some audio trouble. Those of you who are listening on the radio, and I think you could tell that. So we're trying to make sure you can hear both of us. But what it says in verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. If a person could keep the law, it still wouldn't make them right, because that's all outward. And God starts with that which is inward. And it says, for by law is the knowledge of sin. But we know, if you look at the law, that you cannot absolutely come up and measure yourself right. And so are we all right, guys, talking with Alex and him hearing me? Alex, can you hear me now? Okay, we're still looking on that, and so we're trying. I'm going to go ahead and continue this, so I hope all of you that are listening will bear with us. But in verse 21, now it says, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. You can be right with God without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Alex, what a statement that is. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is to all and on all who believe. That is a statement beyond measure, isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is that whoever believes can be saved. I use this statement beyond measure. It's a great promise, isn't it? Verse 22. And then, of course, one of the most famous verses in Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bert, in teaching evangelism, is that one of the first verses you teach, Romans 3:23?
The Roman road, I learned it early on. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And hear how I was taught it, Alex. All means all. There's no one who's measured up and fall short. It has two or three different things, but it's always missing the mark. It's not measuring up. It's falling short. And when it says fall short, I have this vision of somebody trying to jump a 10-foot gap. And some people may can only get 1 foot off of one ledge from where they're standing to where they want to be on the other ledge where God is. But guess what? They fall. The other person may get 9 feet and a half. But guess what? They never measure up. They fall short. It's still imperfect. It's incomplete. All, and he's talking Jew and Gentile here, isn't he?
Well, he really is. And, you know, I remember watching on Wide World of Sports. Do you remember that show?
I do.
Years ago, Wide World of Sports.
Yeah, yeah. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. That was it. Yeah, go
Jim
ahead.
Jim McKay.
Yeah, that's
remember
it.
That guy's
I do. Name? I do, yes.
But I remember watching the diving exhibitions, and sometimes people would dive really close to the diving board, and some people would spring out really far. And I remember thinking, you know, if you tried to cross the ocean, you might miss it by hundreds of miles or miss it by a little bit. But if you've missed, you've missed. And that's how it is with the righteousness of Christ. I mean, maybe you're not as bad in your own mind as, you know, Adolf Hitler or somebody, but compared to Jesus, we have all missed the mark. We're unrighteous. We're sinful. We need redemption. But praise God, you know, salvation, it's almost incredible beyond belief, and yet it's so simple that Jesus loves us, and if we put our faith in him, our guilt is washed away, and his righteousness that we could not achieve on our own is attributed to us.
Alex, verse 24, there's not another verse in the Bible, I would say, that has any more words that are important and they import truth and love. Listen, being justified, what a word, being made right with God freely.
Yes.
Us free by his grace, not anybody's grace, his grace, only his grace, through what? The redemption, that which is paid for to be set free, that is in Christ Jesus. Alex, when I read verse 24, we talk about it quite a bit. You know, we could spend a lot of time here in this passage. I could just say in verse 24, there's about four sermons right here with the words that are being used. Justified. Amen. Freely. Listen, this is what God has done for us. His grace. There's no other way. It is simply His grace. The law couldn't do it, man. But grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's an acrostic.
Amen.
And it's through the redemption. He paid the price, and it was paid by Christ Jesus Himself. This verse really sets it up of what we have and what He's done for us, doesn't it?
Amen. And, you know, if the first part of Romans 3 was a little difficult, basically saying that God is right in judging us, He is holy and righteous, we're fallen and sinful, but we're made right through faith in Christ. Let me read 25 and following. Speaking of Jesus Christ, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. You know, Bert, you mentioned there are four sermons in verse 24. Well, there's half a dozen in verse 25. Okay. Propitiation, the turning away of wrath that we deserved. Jesus, by shedding His blood on the cross, He is our propitiation. He took the guilt, the pain, the punishment for us, for sins that are past. And Bert, let me just say this. There's our own guilt for the sinful things we've done. We've all known the right and we've done the wrong, but then there's the imputed unrighteousness of Adam and Eve, the sin nature that we inherited, and all of this, the forbearance of God. Bert, when I hear of God's forbearance, His patience, His mercy, His grace, the Bible says that He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. I'm very thankful we have a merciful, Psalm says He is plenteous in mercy. I'm very thankful that's who God is.
Amen, Alex. Without it, we would have no hope. Apart from the mercy of God toward us, there would none that would be in His family. We would all be departed from Him. To demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. Where is boasting then? Okay, look what I've done. Okay, I just love that. Where is
who
the boast?
Brag?
Who
Nobody.
Can brag? It is excluded by what law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Alex, when you get to heaven and Jesus asks you, Alex, why should I let you in? Are you going to talk about being on exploring the word and talking about traveling all over the United States and all the things? Or is there another answer that you think He is waiting to hear?
Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to Christ's cross I cling.
Hallelujah.
As one also. The only answer. Do you recall the great D. James Kennedy? He developed a course, it's wonderful, called Evangelism Explosion.
Yes.
And I was in an airport, and I saw a man just the other day. He had on the little pin with the two question marks. And I walked up to him, and I said, if you died and God said, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? And he knew that I was referencing his EE pin. And the only answer is this, folks, because your son, Jesus, died on the cross for me, paid all my debt. I trust Christ and Christ alone, and by His grace and mercy, He washed me clean and saved me. And folks, to join a church, that's a fine thing to do. Maybe you come from a long line of godly people. Maybe you've been generous and given money and done all these, you know, moral things, but they are not meritorious in the sense of buying your salvation. They're just not. Should we be good, godly, generous? Absolutely. But the only thing that can make a fallen sinner right with a holy God is by putting your faith in the dear Lord Jesus and being born again through faith in who He is and on Calvary's cross, what He did.
Alex, you come to verse 28, and Paul is saying, based on what I've shared with you concerning the law and its inadequacy, based upon the, you know, what you have done and what you can do, your righteousness is filthy rags coming short. Therefore, and this is what you were talking about. You was talking about like a legal document. This is it. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, declared righteous, by faith apart from the deeds of the law? Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, because we're not saved through the law, by the law, we're justified by faith. And guess what Abraham was before he was called? He was, we would say he was a Gentile, and then God called him into, quote, Judaism. You know, you catch what I'm saying, Alex. Listen, this is it. Therefore, we conclude that a person is made right by faith apart from the law. Those of you that's trying to say, okay, man, maybe I'll measure up, as you've already gone through the list. I've baptized. I joined the church. I've tried to do right. I've treated every man fairly. I've done this. I've done that. It still comes short. We're not saved by the deeds. We are saved by Jesus Christ and faith in him. I would say Paul made a good conclusion, don't you?
Amen. Oh, absolutely. Have you ever heard that old saying that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people?
Yes.
Let me say that also a converted person is a called person. And if you've been saved, you're on mission for God for the rest of your life. You really are. And it is so liberating. In fact, it's transformative if you realize that as a recipient of the gift of salvation, we are now responsible as his disciples. And this is for all people. Verse 29, that it's just not the God of the Jews, but of the Gentiles also. Now, verses 30 and 31, seeing it is one God who justifies the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision. This means whether you're Jew, that means like of the circumcision, or you're Gentile, we are justified through faith. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now, in keeping morality, here's the thing, this is a key point. Just because salvation is a free gift by faith, not works, it doesn't mean that we disregard God's moral boundaries. We are not to live a lawless life, and Paul will get deeply into this as we go on. In fact, if you've received the free gift of God's redemption through faith, that's all the more incentive to live right. Would you agree?
I agree fully. Matter of fact, he's going back really to chapter 2 when he talked about the Gentiles that by nature, because of conscience and because of nature, they know there's a God, and that conscience helps them to know evil and what's good. You know, Alex, again, Jew and Gentile, it is by grace. It is by God's grace only that we can come to him by placing our faith in him. The word faith has the idea of trusting him completely, rolling up on him, confessing. And so the law is established in our hearts, Alex. That's what Ezekiel and Jeremiah both said. It would be a law under their hearts. Well, we're going to take phone calls, and that number, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We would love to have your Bible question today here on Exploring the Word.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Twice a year, American Family Radio opens the phone lines to ask for listener support in our effort to promote godly values. We call it Share-a-thon. And it's also your chance to tell us your AFR story.
I was headed to work one morning and just happened upon the radio station, and I honestly don't think that my station has changed since then.
If God has used AFR in your life, we'd love to hear you tell us about it.
I've been a big help in keeping my mind straight and walking with the Lord. Thank y'all very much.
Your story can be an encouragement to our radio staff and to other listeners as well.
AFR has helped me out a lot. It helps me to keep in touch with the Lord. It's a good reminder that God loves us.
Call us at 877-876-8893 and give us a one-minute voicemail telling us your AFR story. That's 877-876-8893. And then listen for your voice during Share-a-thon, October 8th, 9th, and 10th on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bertie and Alex here. That phone number, 888-589-8840. If we can get your call, we would love to have that Bible question. But before we do, we call ourselves to prayer so often. And pray for those students at Georgia High School, Appalachia High School, North Central Georgia. 4 have died and 9 are injured. So we want to be praying for them. And it's very big concern, again, violence, and that's what it talks about, lawlessness in the land. We won't go there, but that's one of the signs of his soon return, and we're praying that will happen. Well, Alex, are you ready to go to the phone lines?
I'm ready. The number, folks, if you've got a Bible question, 888-589-8840. Bert, where should we begin?
Let's go to Ohio and talk to Brian. Brian, thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, you're on. Go right ahead, brother.
Hi there. Hey, I just had a question regarding predestination. I heard a message this morning on your station about that. And so my whole thing is that it says in the Bible, like, anyone who comes to the Father shall be saved. Like, we all know that verse and everything. But the Greek definition word of anyone, if I correct me if I'm wrong, but it means a certain one. And also it talks about in the Bible how it says, I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. So I just kind of wanted to get your take on predestination and see what you have to say about that.
Okay, Brian, thank you for your call. Listen, you may have some words that are mistaken, but there are some that are clear as anything. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Those are not, you cannot even look at the Greek and get any other words apart from those. And let me just say this, and I'll share it, turn it over to Alex. We can't completely comprehend all that we know about God's foreknowledge and what he has set it forth to do. We can't understand everything there is about man's free will, choose, but they do work together. Men have a hard time completely. They want to go one way or the other. But listen, God talks about us, everybody can have the opportunity to know him. Alex, would you talk to Brian, please?
Yeah, you know, one of the best books on this, and I think it's worth doing a deep dive and studying, but there's a book by the late Norm Geisler called Chosen But Free. And I was reading in John 3:16 that whosoever believes in him, and the word there is similar to the word that we get like pan, P-A-N means all, you know, pan-American or, you know, panography. Well, it means all or every kind of. Now, we're going to get to Romans 8:29, where it says, those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Bert, I don't believe predestination means some are irrevocably chosen to go to heaven apart from any belief or recourse, and some are chosen to go to hell apart from any belief or recourse. God knows who will and will not believe. But of those who do place their faith in Christ, whosoever will may come. Any human that's ever lived, if they will put their faith in the Savior, can be or could have been saved. But if you get born again, it is God's will that you will ultimately get a glorified body. And I think that's the Romans 8:29, predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. But in terms of salvation, I really think it means whosoever will may come.
Adrian Rogers, the guy that we quote quite often, said this idea that God predestines some to go to heaven and go to hell, that's not predestination, that's fatalism. And I think he was right on. Brian, we hope that helps, brother. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Bill in Mississippi. Bill, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I've recently been studying a book on Enoch and just wanted your guys' take on how this relates. I know it's quoted in Scripture. I know that, you know, and what I'm reading is, even in some instances, Jesus quoted Enoch, the book of Enoch. But what are your thoughts on the book of Enoch? And I'm going to hang up and listen to the radio.
Okay, Bill. Thank you. Alex, we get this question quite often about the book of Enoch, don't we?
Yeah. You know, there were writings in ancient times that a lot of the biblical figures were certainly aware of. Samuel and David, and of course the Apostle Paul, but the book of Enoch was never acknowledged by any of the early church leaders as scripture. It was never affirmed by any of the Jewish people as scripture. Just like, you know, we might reference, maybe if Christ has not returned, 500 years from now, people might say, wow, those guys, boy, they surely did quote Billy Graham and the writings of Adrian Rogers. Was that scripture? No, it was inspiring writings that we knew about, but they weren't inspired. And so legend is that this goes all the way back to the time of Methuselah. We just don't know. It's an interesting historical curiosity, but it wasn't ever by Jew or the early church affirmed as God's word. And I guess, Bert, a larger question is canonicity. I believe that the 66 canonical books we have are the books of the Bible the Holy Spirit intended to be in what we call the corpus or the canon of Scripture.
I agree fully. If he inspired the writers, I believe he could control the selection. You know, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. I believe God worked through men to accomplish this. And Bill, we hope that helps. Let's go to Mona in Kentucky. Welcome, Mona.
Hi, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on. I have a question. There are places, many places in the Bible that talk about demons, but in the book of Jude, in verse 6, it says, angels who did not keep their own designated place of power but abandoned their proper dwelling place, he is kept in internal chains under the thick gloom of utter darkness for the judgment of the great day. So what's the difference about those demons that are wandering around that we even encounter today and those ones that are kept in chains?
Okay, Mona, thank you for that. I think what you've done is great, that there are those that are still working today. There's those that are chained, and praise God, one day all of them will be taken out. Alex, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, if you look at there in verse 6 of Jude, the angels which did not keep their first estate. Now, I think when you read about like Isaiah 14, how Lucifer tried to overthrow God, the angel, the first habitation was in the presence of God. But a third of the angels led in this coup attempt of heaven, and they were kicked out of heaven. Now, it's interesting. There's a word, Tartarus, and that this is the only place in the New Testament this is used, that there are some fallen angels, demons, that are held like in a spiritual jail cell, but they're going to be released during the tribulation. And Bert, you know, we're praying for those people in Georgia, that horrible shooting. I mean, there is demonic activity on planet Earth right now, but can you imagine when the worst of the worst demons are let, just momentarily let out of chains of darkness, Tartarus? Folks, you don't want to be here when that tribulation is going on. If you think things are bad now, especially not only the seven-year tribulation, but the second half of the tribulation, Bert, I don't mean to be flippant, but it's going to be almost hell on earth, isn't it?
It really is. When you see that described in the book of Revelation and you see this many die, this starvation, this horrible attack, listen, come to Christ. You want to do it today. You don't want to put it off. So oh, I'm going to wait for a convenient season. Let me just tell you, now is the best season. Come to Christ today.
Yeah.
Let's go to Texas and talk to Steve. Steve, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
I've been teaching in the Book of Psalms in our adult class, and about three weeks ago, two Sundays in a row, some of the scripture that I was referencing, and I can't get to my Bible right now, I'm driving, but in some of the verses it says, "Thou art terrible," and the word "terrible" is in italics in my Bible. Some of the verses, it almost points, sounds like the King James Version is saying, almost like, I know they're not, but seem almost like they're saying, "Thou art terrible to God." But you, any thoughts on the use of the word "terrible" in some of those verses of Scripture when it says, "Thou art terrible"?
Okay. Usually when it is in italics, for those that don't know, it means that it was understood or put in there for clarity. Alex, do you exactly know where Steve is talking about? Do you have an idea?
It's Psalm 68:35, and I want to look up that word, and we'll see what that word is. You know, generally, if I remember, it's like awesome or omnipotent. In other words, it's like all the power. I'm going to look this word up right now, but every now and then, whenever you have a translation, you have what's called the recipient language. It's really the word "awesome."
It is. God, it is awesome. In the New King James that I use, "Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is He who strength and power of His people." And mine in the New King James is not in italics at all, Alex.
Yeah, and really the word, the Hebrew word is yare, and I don't know. Yare, I'm not sure if I'm in my southern way pronouncing that correctly, but it means so powerful as to be feared. Now, yes, we are to fear God, not in a paranoid sense, but if you're a child of God, yes, God is to be respected, revered. It doesn't mean terrible in a morally evil sense, because we know there is no evil in God. But in the Psalm 68:35 wording there, it means so powerful, so awesome as to be worthy of the highest level of respect and reverence. That is really fear. Bert, you ever heard the old phrase, that will put the fear of God into you?
Yes, yes. That would probably be it. Listen, this is used also in Psalm 76, verse 12. "He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth." Again, there's that word, and it demonstrates who He is and His awesomeness. The other day we had our bumper music. That's the music that brings us in segment two and segment three. And we played an old one, "Our God is an Awesome God." And we had three or four folks talking about, about time we heard that again. This is it. Our God is an awesome God, and he reigns. Steve, we hope that helps a whole lot, brother. We appreciate it. Let's go to Texas and talk to Gary. Gary, thank you for calling.
Yes. My question is about baptism. I grew up in the Church of Christ, and I'm sure y'all are familiar with Church of Christ. I'd like to see what y'all's view, and if you could help me understand that, on baptism and salvation.
Thank you, Gary, for calling. We're going to make it as plain. I'm going to make an opening statement. Alex, you fill it in. But we know this, that God talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we're also talking about the baptism by water after somebody has come to Christ. The baptism by water is important. It's one of the first things you do as an obedient disciple of Jesus Christ. It shows your identity and the death, burial, and resurrection raised in newness of life. It is a testimony. It is a picture. But Alex, go ahead and tell about the baptism, the Spirit, but and then the water.
Yeah, and by the way, great timing. I'm doing a baptismal service this Sunday. If you're in the Greensboro area, there's a very historic lake, 200 years old, Kimesville Lake. And this is part of Mount Pleasant Church. Bert, I went down there Monday, Angie and I went into the lake, felt like I was in the Jordan River because I wanted to make sure where I was to stand and all. But this Sunday, 10:30 a.m., we'll have an outdoor baptismal service in the historic Kimesville Lake in Greensboro. And you can go on my website and I'll have the address. We got 20 new believers we're going to baptize outdoors in the lake this
Sunday.
What
a testimony. Will other people be able to watch it besides the church people who are there?
Yeah, we're going to stream it on Mount Pleasant Church, and we're going to have singing on the hillside. It's going to be an old-fashioned service. But I want to say the New Testament uses the word baptism in two senses. Now, there is water baptism, and Bert, we often use the phrase believer's baptism, because I believe that, as I understand the New Testament, when you put your faith in Jesus, Galatians says you are baptized into Christ through faith. So if you've put your faith in Jesus, you are baptized. However, the New Testament also uses the word baptism in the sense of the act of being water baptized, and not for salvation, but as a proclamation of the change that's already taken place. So we said that baptism is a step of obedience for the believer. It's not what saves you. You're baptized into Jesus upon your faith, but water baptism is a way that you publicly declare the faith that you've already put in the Lord Jesus. Does that make sense?
I hope it does. It sure does to me. Gary, we hope that helps you. And just listen, get right with God, and then step by step, he will lead you. He really will. Alex, 20, are you baptizing all of them or one or two of them?
Yes, sir.
There? Well, amen,
yeah, God
brother.
Willing, it'll all be me.
Amen. That is something to see. If we can get it, we may put some of that on our Facebook page. That would be awesome to see. But we'll be back tomorrow with Romans chapter 4. Listen, in Romans, there's no let up. It is all good, forwarding and making us look to Christ. We'll see you tomorrow on Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.